time for the best Ravens coverage. What time is that? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
I mean, I feel like we had the same mindset the whole time. We just, you know, the O-line was getting used to each other. We had a new defensive coordinator. And this was our second year in the offense, and we ain't played the preseason with each other. So once we got a feel for each other and once we knew everything, the offensive line got a better feeling of playing with each other, that we was going to start clicking. It was only a matter of time before that happened.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. We called a little audible during the break, decided to go with some Zay Flowers audio. He was on Good Morning Football earlier today on NFL Network. So there you just heard him talking about the team staying focused despite that 0-2 start. And Zay's talking about some of the dynamics that they're overcoming at the start of the year. And I think every NFL team has something that they're trying to work through when the season starts. Nobody is there true self, and the Ravens had theirs, and some things they've improved, like the offensive line, like the offense kind of coming together. Defense still work in progress.
But like what Zay's talking about, you know, like when I was with the Niners in 94, we started out 2-2, you know, and then we went on a long run and we had the number one offense in the league. But it was troublesome at the beginning, you know, until we got going. And then once we got going, like Zay's talking about, we were unstoppable offensively. And that's kind of, you know, where they are right now, because right now it's like pick your poison. And, you know, what I guess what Zay is saying is, you know, are you better off playing in the preseason, Cordell, or are you better off, you know, because it took them 2 regular season games to be their preseason games. You know, so, I mean, you kind of look at that. Is it worth losing 2 games?
I would still say yes, just because when you look at the flip side and the worst case scenario that the Ravens themselves have had to go through, losing key guys in those preseason games. And look, I was one of the guys that was saying during the preseason, like, maybe we should give some of these guys a couple of reps, because outside of the joint practice that they get, they don't really get anything else. And so it is a little, it's not easy on the eyes to see at the start of the season, the team trying to figure themselves out. But if we're just talking about a couple of games, it being in this case 2 games, and here they are now 4-2, winners of 4 straight at the top of the division, I'll take that as opposed to potentially losing one of my key guys in a meaningless game.
But when you do go back and look at it, the guys that really needed it,
right,
they played. O-line played. Mm-hmm. You know, not Ronnie.
Right.
But all those, the youngsters that are playing, they all played.
Right.
And they needed those 3 games plus another 6 games. And I think, and I don't know what you think, Cordell, but like that Kansas City game, they didn't know who they were offensively. Right. It was like 2 different offenses. Then it got better against the Raiders. And then now, you know, and then once the 45 carries, the 35 carries, and then you like, okay, what does that do for us? That, we had no problems with the O-line. You know, so I mean, you kind of find out, okay, we're really good at this. And because we're really good at that, all of a sudden, the passing game becomes real good because we can play action pass, and the O-line doesn't get threatened that much, and our receivers are running open. So it's all kind of worked out well together.
No, I agree, and that's why I thought it was a great thing that they got the Chiefs when they did in week one. It's a no-pressure type of game. Yeah, it's a rematch of the AFC Championship game. It's the first game of the season on primetime. But in the grand scheme of things, it's week one. You're not even, the Ravens aren't even that same team that they were.
Neither are the Chiefs.
Exactly.
If they were playing each other right now,
I think the
Ravens would be favored by about 6.
So. Yeah, I agree with that. Let's hear more from Zay Flowers, who was on NFL Network this morning. We talked a little bit about the receiving group and just the weapons on this offensive side of the ball, and how on paper it might not scare you, but when you watch them, you see how efficient they can be. Here's Zay talking about the receivers getting overlooked.
I mean, we passionate about it because, you know, it's like a thing going around saying the Ravens receivers, the Ravens don't have receivers and this and that, but y'all don't have Derrick Henry, so Let me see what y'all do. I got Derrick Henry.
So
we got to run the ball because we got him. We always had a good rushing game. So it's like you always got to balance it out. And if your rushing game good, you just got to keep going with what you're winning you the games.
And that's what we talked about earlier. Derrick Henry is helping out the receivers. He's helping out the pass game. I don't think there's any receivers upset about having to run block these days because they know that when the ball gets in the air, it's going to benefit them just as much.
And when you look at the Ravens right now, Cordell, they've thrown it 177 times. They've rushed it 209. So they've run it like 30 more times, and that's going to happen. You get into the fourth quarter, and they've got the lead. Henry's getting a ball.
Yep.
And he would have had 10 more carries probably if he didn't jump off sides in the Oakland game, and they probably win that one. So, it is what it is. The receivers, I think the receivers, they're all happy. I mean, Bateman caught four. Mm-hmm. Flowers catches nine. Aguilar catches one or two. We got the tight ends back at. Kolar didn't catch any, but he's still, he's still happy from getting three in the one
right,
game.
Right.
So they all know that they got to stay sharp. Because why? Because it could come to them at any time.
Let's hear one more from Zay Flowers. We talked about the Derrick Henry effect and how he's impacted all the guys around him. Here's Zay Flowers just talking about what it's like to have Derrick Henry be a part of the offense.
I'm just glad he's on our team because we don't got to tackle him. We ain't got to worry about him running at the high speeds and being that big and just trying to take him down. But having him on my team, it made my job easier. It made everybody on the field job easier. It made the route runners be able to run routes. And Lamar can hand it off instead of always like pulling it and running. So we got a lot of options to just go out there and play football the way we want to.
And this is kind of...
I can't disagree with
it. No, you can't. I mean, this is why I just couldn't think of a scenario where this didn't work unless injuries came and played a part. But if they're healthy, Lamar, we saw the type of attention Lamar's backfield has had over the years with a great rushing attack, but not necessarily a great individual running back there. You've got Lamar, but now with both of those guys in the backfield, how do you as a defense not respect them? It just opens it up for everybody else on the outside.
Because it's not just saying, hey, when I'm a D coordinator, all right, we got to stop. We got to stop Derrick Henry. Well, Lamar Jackson's as much of the running game as he is. So you got to stop inside and outside.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and how many are and how do we defend Lamar in the run? Because, we got to have an end or something that is also worried about Lamar. So they're causing and with the receiving core and the tight ends the way they're playing and Ricard the way he's, it's kind of difficult because you got to have a lot of good players on defense, smart players on defense, physical players on defense to be able to hold up against the Ravens.
Nah, I couldn't agree more. You talk it's the kind of dilemma that they put defenses in. Like you said, you have to have the guys out there with the smarts. You have to have guys that are physical, and you got to have guys that are disciplined, because just think of a play action pass, right? The play action, you already said it, as soon as you do the fake to Henry, the linebackers, they're taking that step forward.
Yep.
So once they realize it's a pass, then they start to drop back. But even then, you still have to be disciplined because it could turn into a run again if Lamar decides he wants to keep it. It just puts you in such a limbo situation to where there's almost no right answer.
And when the offensive players, when they walk out to practice, feeling pretty damn good about themselves. I mean, they're joking, having fun, and they're very confident. When they get on the field, they expect to score. That's the nice thing about the offense. They expect to score, and if not, it's like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Who screwed up?
Right.
That's basically it. And I think Todd Monken is got a really good feel for his offense right now and what he can, what he can't do. And their staff, I think they get great game plans and understand a really good idea of what the defense is going to do to them and how to attack them. Who would have thought that they'd come out and throw it 19 times in the first half? Probably not. I mean, you watch Commanders all the time. Is that what you thought they would do?
Well, the secondary stinks, and that was shown on
Sunday.
And the pass rush wasn't there. Jonathan Allen goes out in that game. I mean, it it is what it is. But I did expect them to take advantage of that defense. I figured there would be a lot of points put up, and that turned out to be the case. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll play a little buy or sell. We'll check in on the stock market, answer some questions from the world of sports with Quick Draw McGraw. That's next here on The Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Coming up at 12:30, we'll talk some Caps hockey with Craig Lachlan from Monumental Sports. See what the 1-1 Caps are doing. I think they're back on the ice tonight, right?
Is it tonight or tomorrow?
I believe it is tonight.
Yeah, I think they're back on the ice tonight. I have to check on that opponent while you're checking in on the stock market, Vinny.
Oh, yeah. Cordell, whenever you're here, man, it's always green.
It's good news.
Yeah. The Dow's up 120. The S&P's up 19. NASDAQ is up 113. DraftKings is down 15 cents. Under Armour, they're up 6 cents to 879.
Caps are on the ice tonight against the Stars at home.
Dallas,
yep,
good.
At 7 o'clock.
Well, as far as our sports topics, we'll get started here in the NBA. Last season, there was a lot of debate, at least at the start of the year, around LeBron James and his workload. Did he need more rest to stay efficient now that he's in his late 30s? That was the thought process, at least for, at the time, their coach, Darvin Ham. And he actually tried to limit LeBron to a minutes restriction early in the season. That was until James sounded off after being off the court in crunch time of a key loss. He would then go on to play 70 plus games over the course of the season, something he had not done since 2017 and 18, and averaged 35 minutes per game in the process. That's on par with what he's had in previous recent seasons. But Cordell, buy or sell, LeBron James will be able to match that availability in his age 40 season coming up.
Of 70 plus games?
And roughly 35 a night.
I'll sell it. I think LeBron is as great as anybody out there. He has come up with some of these little knick-knack injuries every now and then. I think that's bound to happen again. 30 plus minutes is a lot. If we're talking about over a 70 plus game span, I don't see him necessarily doing. I think he'll deal with some little, no serious injuries, but I could see him missing some time for little injuries here and there.
The problem is, you take him off the court, they're not going to win.
Well,
I mean, they haven't built the complete roster where they can give him a breather and save him for the playoffs.
And the reality is, they're most likely not going to win anything if he's there.
All right, over to the NFL. The Browns, well, they don't have much to be excited about these days, but Nick Chubb, he's in line to return to the field this Sunday. That's a welcome sight for fans. And he wrote a piece for the Players Tribune to announce his return and also share appreciation for the fan base and team sticking with him. Last played in late September of 2023, racking up 64 yards on 10 carries before he suffered that gruesome injury. Buy or sell, Vinny, we will see a typical Chubb stat line on Sunday. 20 carries, at least 4 yards a pop.
That Bengals defense is not good against the rush. I'm going to sell it. I think it's going to take a few games for him to kind of get his legs back.
Because that was as nasty of an injury as you're ever going to see.
Well, plus he had 2 surgeries. You know, the second one wasn't until like December.
All right. More from the NFL here. Derrick Henry being named AFC Offensive Player of the Week. His second time in the span of 3 weeks, he's been the recipient. And the week in between, Lamar Jackson wins the accolade, which marks the first time in Ravens history that the team has had a winner of Offensive Player of the Week 3 weeks in a row. Of course, both those guys no stranger to the award. Lamar has countless under his belt and Player of the Month honors on top of it. But Cordell, buy or sell, this won't be the only instance this year where the Ravens win Player of the Week 3 consecutive weeks in a row.
Oh, 3 consecutive weeks in a row. Let me look at this schedule real quick. Is there a 3-game span?
Well, you said Jaden Daniels has won 5 in a row.
Well, he's won 5. Yeah,
that's NFC for rookie.
Yeah.
Yeah. three straight. I'll sell it. I think at some point it'll get to voter fatigue. You may get somebody that even when Lamar and Derrick Henry have a great game, it may be somebody that people didn't expect that goes on to have a great game as well, and they give it to them. So it's been an incredible start to the season for both of those guys, and I think they should at least be top three, top four in MVP voting right now, at least in my mind. But, yeah, I could see somebody kind of messing up that three in a row for them.
Well, let me just say this. Playing on Monday night and national TV audience and stuff, if you go off have a big game, I mean, as crazy as it may sound, the 1 year was, I can't remember the year, Dana Stubblefield won Defensive Player of the Year. We played Philly on a Monday night, and they had like a backup playing guard. And I think Stubby had like, I don't know, four sacks or something like that in the game. And just because everybody's watching, you know, and players got a vote, that's what they remember. Damn, that Dana Stubblefield. So if you, what year was it, Norm?
97.
Yeah, 97. And if somebody has a huge game tonight or Monday night, it does a lot for you. I mean, if Zay goes out there and has nine catches again for over 100 yards,
right?
Yeah, people take notice. And if Henry rushes for two, I said this the other day, Cordell, as bad as this O-line was, if he rushes for 1,900 yards and they're winning all those games and stuff, they may have three dudes make the Pro Bowl offensive line.
Yeah.
We'll close with this one here. Bills running back James Cook. He was trying to get ready for last Monday night's game, but ultimately was inactive with a foot injury. His status will continue to be monitored moving forward, but was a limited participant towards the end of last week, so maybe in line to play this Sunday. In his place, the rookie Ray Davis got the start, and a full share of reps, making the most of it, 97 yards on the ground, 55 through the air. Vinny, buy or sell, Ray Davis will be more involved moving forward, even when Cook is healthy.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it because it's better to have two. You know, if you know you got two that can play, you know, Cook got hurt, okay? Maybe if he's not carrying it as much, he doesn't, you know, he can last longer. So I'll totally buy that.
Oh, that's not what James Cook fantasy owners want to hear right there. Is a share in the backfield where it's been mostly James Cook.
I tell you whose fantasy owners want him to stand up a little bit is Aguilar. My wife is really pissed at him.
Well, yeah, if she's starting him, her receiving core must not be that good to begin with. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, let's talk some hockey with Craig Lachlan from Monumental Sports. Caps back on the ice tonight against the Dallas Stars. We'll talk some Caps hockey with Craig next here on The Fan.
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this Total Request Thursday. Send in your favorite songs to the text line. We'll handle it from there. Also, get in your votes for Featured Artist Friday. We'll announce that on the back end of the show in a little over an hour and some change. Right now, we're talking some hockey, some Caps hockey to be specific. Perfect time to bring in Craig Lachlan from Monumental Sports. What's going on, Craig? Appreciate your time today.
Hey, nice song coming in, too. I dig Prince. Thank you.
Shout out to the people. Another great request in the early show so far today. And Craig, we're looking at this team early start to the season. Caps 1-1. They have their third game tonight against the Stars at home. And I know last year it was a lot of youth on this team. Caps were busy at the trade deadline. Ovi really got hot in the second half, as did the team. What's kind of the outlook for this team going into this season?
Cordell, I think I'm really more excited this year than last year. I think they did a great overhaul. When you look at the players that they brought in, they addressed the issues that we had last year. And, you know, one of the biggest issues, which we haven't had in Washington for a while, was offense. And offense did not come easily for the team last year. I think Strome was fantastic. Ovi struggled. Wilson struggled. You go down the list of guys putting up the points. And this year, your strength up the middle really is dominant now more than ever in the NHL. And now that the Caps can go Strome, Dubois, Lapierre, and Dowd, they're a much stronger team. Remember, we lost Kuznetsov, we've lost Backstrom, TJ Oshie is still on IR. If you're strong up the middle, that's a good sign. And number two, the addition of Chychrun. Chychrun is a young John Carlson. He adds to the offense. He's been a huge part of the first couple of games, and he will continue to be a threat offensively. I think they've addressed the problems. I expect more from this team than I did last year.
Hey, Locker, I missed Saturday's. I missed the opener. Charlie was playing at Quinnipiac, so I missed that one, but I watched the other night. You know what impressed me, Locker, watching that? Ovi looks like he's in really good shape. I mean, that play he made on the boards with the assist, I don't know that he makes that last year at this time, because he looked quick at the other night.
Yeah, he did, Vinny. It's a good thing. I think the first game, you're probably lucky you missed because we didn't play very well. I think the second game, I even said on air, I thought that was one of our best games in months, meaning dating back to last year. We just were on all facets of the game, offensively, defensively. The Dubois line did a great job against the Eichel line. They're going to have to do, again, a good checking job against Hintz, Roberson, and Wyatt Johnson. I think when you look at Ovechkin, a lot has been said about him being put to the right side. When you look at analytics and when you read about right-handedness or handedness, I call it, there really is nothing exiting the zone defensively. There's no difference if a guy's a right winger playing the left side, a left side playing the right side. There is a difference on the attack, because with your stick in the middle, like Ovi has done over the years, playing the left side and the right shot, the puck's in the middle, you get better angles to the net, you generate more shots. It's been proven time and time again. I think putting Ovi on right wing, which I think he'll play here again tonight, what happens was, and you've watched enough hockey, Vinny, that you know, you come out for warm-ups, you go for a pleasure skate, you always go counterclockwise. Players are the best when they're crossing over that way. So now you get Ovi defensively coming back into the zone. He's turning the way that's very easy to turn to generate speed. Now he comes with speed. Now you see his legs moving the other night. That, to me, is a possibility of probably playing right side, because now he can still cut across. People are all saying, oh, he's playing right wing. He hasn't done that since Adam Oates put him there, yada, yada, yada. But he's smart enough that when he attacks on the offensive side, he's going to come to the left anyways and still get his looks. I thought that was an excellent game by the Caps captain the other night.
Yeah, and you got his 700th assist. I mean, and people don't realize, Locker, you know, that, you know, he's the great goal scorer, but the passing that he did the other night, I thought he was phenomenal passing the puck the other night.
Oh, fantastic. And, you know, Vinny, you say 700 assists. That's only been done, I think, 60 times in the history of the NHL. But most impressively, he joined the 700 club. And he joins, that means 700 goals, 700 assists. He joins Gretzky, Howe, Jagr, Dion, and Esposito. I mean, he's up there with Mount Rushmore, the best players ever in the National Hockey League. And Ovi's obviously a guy that we're always looking for the great eight chase and, you know, being 42 away from passing the great one and all that. But he's come into this season, I think, probably a little bit renewed, in better shape, excited. Younger players have joined the lineup. The Caps are faster than they were last year. And I think that breeds over to the veteran guy, the so-called graybeard on our team, Alex Ovechkin.
A guy that I really like, you know, and I thought he was one of the best players last year, and I don't know how they got him or what happened to him, Dylan Strome. I mean, what happened? Because he was like third pick of the draft, Locker, and he went to, what, a couple other teams, then he comes to the Cat, kind of finds his home, and he's been outstanding.
Put in the right situations, Vinny. You know, in the game of hockey and every sport, when you're put in a responsible situations, put in high minutes, you tend to respond. You know, he started as a first-round pick, top three, I think, with Arizona, moved on then. And I think he just found his niche here. To me, he was the best player last year. He's come out of the gates like that again this year. But you've got to look back. I always like to trace players back to where they sort of started to become stars. You know, he started in Erie. He was one of the best players there. He played with DeBrinket. He played with some of both the Radish boys. You go down the list of players that he played with. Then he was put in a tough situation in Arizona where he didn't really play a lot as a 19 or 20-year-old. Then he gets traded to Chicago, puts up career numbers, but then Chicago says, we got to clean house of everybody and let's start fresh because we want to get the best players in the world in the draft. And they ended up doing that. And that's why he was moved. And I think it was a brilliant signing by the Caps because it's hard to find a skilled center like we're seeing out of Dylan Strome.
Let's talk about Dallas tonight. I mean, Dallas is undefeated, Locker. They've only given up 5 goals. They're scoring 12. What do you see tonight?
Well, another difficult game. You know, we thought Vegas was one of the best teams in the West. Well, right now, Dallas is. I mean, they're predicted to go to the Stanley Cup final out of the West. You know, they lost Joe Pavelski, but they have Hintz, Wyatt Johnson, and Robertson. And the guy to watch, if anybody's watching the game tonight, watch Stankoven. I mean, he's incredible. He's right up there. He's got 5 assists. He might be the Calder guy that you look at that could, or Celebrini when he's healthy. It could go down to those two guys. Then they have Heiskanen, which I think is one of the up-and-coming defensemen, should win the Norris. And then, unfortunately, Vinny, they've got one of the best goalies in the world. Ottinger, he has been unbelievable. So if we don't play our best in all facets of the game, it's going to be a tough night. If we play like we did against Vegas the other night, we're going to have a good chance to go 2-1 here to start the season.
Hey, Locker, talk about what Columbus did the other night, them and the Panthers with the Johnny Gaudreau. I mean, it brings tears to your eyes watching. I thought it was really cool what Columbus did and the Panthers did.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. You know, you lose a player of Johnny's caliber in the National Hockey League, a superstar, along with his brother. It hurt. Everybody in the National Hockey League will wear helmet patches and helmet stickers the rest of October, I think, into November to honor those two players. But definitely what they did in Columbus is always something special when you recognize a player that was so important, not only to the NHL, but important to Columbus, important to all his friends and family. And my condolences out to their family because it was a crushing blow to our league to lose such a star player like Johnny.
You know what's funny, or not funny, but you know what's interesting, Locker, is Johnny, the rink that he played at, I would see Guy at practice there. That's the rink that Charlie played at, you know, his youth teams. So Guy was running the hockey stuff there. So I'd see Guy every day, you know, when I'd be at practice and stuff, and Johnny'd be out there all the time, too, and his brother were there all the time. You know, so
isn't it cool?
Yeah.
Isn't it cool that then he gets invited to coach in the NHL to help practice in Columbus, to help practice? John Tortorella invited a guy out to do that also. I think there's just been an outpouring of love for their family and everyone involved with their family and around their family, their friends. And it was a tragedy, and it's going to be hard to get over it. It's going to take more than just this season. It's going to take a long, long time.
Craig, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this afternoon. Good start to the season. Hopefully it continues on, and hopefully we can talk to you again as the season progresses.
Hey, Locker, I'll be watching you and Joe B at 7 tonight.
Oh, you got it, Vinny. Thank you, brother.
You got it.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Appreciate the time.
Yep.
No problem.
Thank you.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, let's get back to some football. Ravens, they take on the Bucks on Monday Night Football. We did Vinny's first film review looking at that Tampa Bay defense. Let's look at that high-powered offense next here on The Fan.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's film room on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, we're back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland here for Bob Haney with Vinny Serrato. Quick draw McGraw behind the glass on this Turn It Up, Total Request Thursday, I should say. Continue to send in your favorite songs to the text line. We'll play them all the way up until 2 o'clock. Get into our second breakdown from Vinny's film review. We looked at the defense earlier. Vinny, let's take a look at that Tampa offense.
Yeah, the offense, they've got skilled players. And, you know, you got a quarterback that's completing 71% of his passes with 15 touchdowns and 5 picks. He has been sacked 17 times. And he's got almost a 110 quarterback rating. So, I mean, he is doing well. And Mike Evans is still Mike Evans. I think that when he had Brady, I think he averaged, you know, he's averaging 12.4. I think it was he had bigger plays, more deep throws, I think, at that time. He's got four plays over 20 yards. But the guy is Chris Godwin. I mean, that dude right now, he's going nuts. Mm-hmm. He's going nuts. He's got 43 catches, averaging 12 yards a catch with five TDs. And Evans has got five touchdowns. But the thing with, like, Evans has 78 yak yards. Godwin, 324 yak yards. 324. So he's making a lot of plays. And they're throwing the ball short. They're not taking a lot of shots. They're getting the ball to these guys short, and they're letting them run and make plays. But I like the skill guys a lot. You know, and then Sterling Shepard, mm-hmm. he's their third. He's good, but he's inconsistent, I think. You know, I mean, like, he'll have some drops and stuff in there. He had a drop the other day. And then Otten, the tight end's not a bad player either. You know, he's got a touchdown, and he's got 31 targets. But the yak yards, that is all on Godwin. And it's also Bucky Irving. He's got 100 yak yards. And Rashad White, he's got almost 200 yak yards.
Is that a concern, considering what we've seen from this Ravens
defense? Well, yeah, I mean,
that's
why one of my keys for tomorrow is going to be they're going to have tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You got to tackle. And that's been a lot lately. I mean, it seems like with the Ravens, for stretches it's real good, and then stretches it's real bad. And that's that. And Harbs talks about inconsistencies all the time with the Ravens, and that's their biggest problem on defense is the inconsistencies. Now, let's look at the offensive line for Tampa. I think Tristan Wirfs is a really good player, the left tackle. I mean, he's out of Iowa. He's a high draft pick. He was their right tackle before. Then they moved him over to the left side. I like him a lot. Then after that, Ben Bredesen's a guy that the Ravens had who's the left guard. He's a little stiff. None of them are mashers, knock you off the ball linemen. They're not that style. So, hence, big advantage Ravens D-line because they are.
Mm-hmm.
They are. And the center, Graham Barton, he's a first-round pick by Tampa out of Duke. He was a tackle. He's kind of like Rosengarten. To me, he's a year away from being really good because he needs to get stronger. He is easily pushed around, thrown around. He's really athletic. But the nose tackles for the Ravens, they're going to be able to walk him back. They're going to have to give him a double team. Otherwise, that center is going to be in trouble all day. And with a shorter quarterback, Cordell, in his face, he's going to have a hard time seeing. I think Travis Jones and Matabike and Michael Pierce, they're going to be critical in this game because I'm not big in even Cody Mach, the right guard. I mean, the two guards, they're kind of stiff. They're not great knee benders. They're stiff. The right tackle's awful. Luke Getteke, terrible. And you'll see him. He's got a big bubble helmet, too. But he can't block in the pass protection. You know, I mean, in the run, he's okay, but he's not physical. But in the pass stuff, got a chance to get there. Got a big chance to get there, outside or inside. So I think they can get after the offensive line.
Will we see Owe potentially make some plays back there?
Owe's got a chance, you know, maybe on the outside. I think the guy who's going to cause him a lot of problems is Van Noy, just because he's so smart, you know, and crafty. And I think Ngakoue's getting better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's getting his legs under him a little bit. You see each week a little better. And I would anticipate the 13 reps going up higher this week because Ajabo hadn't been playing great rushing the passer. And Tavius Robinson's not a pass rusher. So, you know, they're going to throw it a ton. I mean, they may throw it 50 times in this game because they're not going to be able to run it. And the key's going to be they got talented receiver. Can they disrupt Baker? And he's got some ability to run. You know, he can make some play. He can make some first downs with his feet. But can you get, if they can get the pressure up the middle, the Ravens, you know, if they can walk those guys back, then Baker's got nowhere to step up inside, and then the outside guys can come. And I think that's going to be big. You know, so can the defense, you know, you're talking about the number one scoring team in the league right now. And Washington was number one last week, and they scored 20. So Tampa's going to score. I mean, it's not going to be a shutout. They got receivers that are really good. They got a real good left tackle. The tight end's not bad. Their running backs, I like them. You know, Rashad White, he didn't play last week. I don't know if he's playing this week or not. But Bucky Irving's a good player, jersey number 7. He is a good player. I mean, he's got quickness, shiftiness. He's got a burst. And he runs low, so he's kind of hard to tackle. So
that Tucker guy had 2 touchdowns last week.
Yeah, Tucker caught a – he's a more straight line, kind of a stiffer guy. He's a local kid, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he caught a swing pass out of the backfield, went the distance. But, yeah, if they got to play those two guys, I'm sure they'll be happy. But you got to wrap them up to tackle them. And that's going to be one of the biggest things, Cordell, is tackling. And then, you know, can they shut down Godwin? Because I think – Godwin is the hotter guy right now, but they don't have a problem going to either Godwin or Evans. But Evans is 6'4", so they're going to high point. He's going to target them in the end zone mm-hmm. and stuff, so you better be aware of him there. And maybe in the red zone you put Kyle Hamilton on him in the red zone. I don't know. But they've been extremely explosive offensively. You got to be ready. The defense, I mean, they're the number 9 total offense. In points, they're 2nd, 29.7. Touchdown passes, they're 1st. You know, quarterback rating, they're 2nd in the league. And average per rush, Cordell, they're 4th, mm-hmm. 5.3. So you got to take away one. And third downs are spectacular. They're completing 47% on third down. So, I mean, they are being very, very efficient and explosive offensively. They're coming off scoring 51 last week.
Couple of things scared me about this matchup, and it's really the matchup between the wide receivers with this defense. You mentioned Chris Godwin, who's been phenomenal for them.
All short stuff, short crossing.
All in the middle of the field. Yep. All in the middle of the field. And the yak is there, and we just see how this defense has struggled with the passing game being in the middle of the field. I think Godwin's going to eat a lot in that short to intermediate area in the middle of the field. And then when it comes to Mike Evans.
Rasheen Rice.
Yeah, exactly. And with Evans, I mean, I'm looking at him, if he is matched up with
Brandon Stevens.
With Stevens, it's exactly what it's been. Right up the sideline, big body target that's just going to go and high point the ball.
And Cordell, you know what? The NFL is a copycat league, right? And we've been, you know, I've been saying this ever since Brandon Stevens has been in the league. He can cover, but he can't play the football. And what's everybody been doing lately?
Mm-hmm.
They're all throwing that deep ball and saying, you know what? He can't find a ball. And he has been lucky on a cut where he just sticks his arm because he's not looking at it and knocks the ball away. But they're going to keep doing it until he stops him.
And unfortunately for him, it's against a lot of premier wide receivers. Yep. Devontae Adams had a lot of luck doing it. Terry McLaurin got to have a good day. And now Mike Evans, it just doesn't get any easier.
Devontae Adams, I mean, schooled him.
And I think it could be kind of a mirror situation from that to Mike Evans.
Well, you know what helped the Raiders was in the fourth quarter, 5 plays over 20 yards. And that can't happen. You know, they got to knock out all those explosives.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll feed you some NFL lunch. There is a game tonight on Thursday Night Football. We have New Orleans and Denver out in New Orleans. Beat up Saints team right now. We'll see who they even have to suit up in this game. But we'll look around the NFL, give our picks for tonight's game as well. That's next here on The Fan.